I'm particularly delighted that Sheikh Farfour and the Mufti of Damascus have returned to our desert of snow.
Raja'u ila sahra'i thalj huna. Yeah, from Sahar.
I like
Sahara.
بيضاء صحراء بيضاء جن الأبيض تفاؤل السلام.
I'm also very pleased that my colleague Professor Ibrahim Abarabi, that along with the Rani Center we've been able to bring the Mufti and the Sheikh and to do a number of things here in Edmonton with various parts of the Muslim community and with Christians and also our favorite secularists.
كمان العلمانيين اللي بنحبهم مع العلمانيين اللي بنحبهم اللي جنب المسيحيين المسلمين.
All are worthy. The idea for doing this, having a time when we could sit and reflect together, listen to the Mufti and the Sheikh and to President Harry Fernhout here of the King's University College. It really results from the last time our friends were with us from Damascus, and a kind of plea, I guess, if I may say so.
Can you mind, of course. No, okay, please see.
At the end of his talk on interfaith dialogue,
وفي نهاية كلامه عن علاقات بين الإسلام والمسيحية السنة السابقة, سيد مفتي
قال, a few moments reflecting on what he referred to as the deformed images of Islam.
عن كيف الصحافة تبرز الإسلام بطريقة مشوهة.
The Muslim world.
ولا يعرضون أفكار المسلمين في العالم الإسلامي. تكلم عن الصور المشوهة للإسلام طريقتين.
That one group of them comes from the militant form of Islam.
الطريقة الأولى أنه في هناك متعصبين في الإسلام بعض فكرة خطأ عن الإسلام.
And it's not properly rooted.
وهذا ليس من الإسلام شيء.
The other comes from the media.
والناحية الثانية يأتي من الصحافة والإعلام في الغرب.
In which a regular diet of deformed images.
وهذا على مستوى يومي عن الإسلام والمسلمين في جميع أنحاء العالم صورة
مشوهة.
وعندما استمعت إليه يتكلم, عندما سمعت كلام عن ذلك كنت أفكر عن المسيحية والتراث المسيحي تراثي أنا. أي واحد اللي يستمع إلى الصحافة هنا يعرف أن أيضا المسيحية عندها صورة مشوهة في العالم. نعم.
And that they also come from
wings
of the Christian tradition,
تأتي أيضا من بعض الكنائس المسيحية عنا,
which are in the grip of fear,
الذين يخافون,
and have not, in my judgment, encountered Jesus Christ properly.
والذين لم يتلاقوا مع السيد المسيح بطريقة سليمة.
And they also come from the way the media fixates on things.
ويأتي أيضا من الإعلام.
So I thought it might be fruitful for us to listen today.
من الأحسن أن نسمع من المفتي ولا الشيخ
and رئيس الجامعة Fernhout reflect on caring for the souls of the young in this particular context.
يعكس أفكارهم عن الصغار بالنسبة لهذه المواضيع, بالنسبة صور غير مضبوطة عن الإسلام والمسلمين وخاصة الشباب.
I would like to begin
أريد أن أبدأ
with one of the Psalms of David.
أحد زمامير داود.
As some of you may know, the Psalms are treasured also in the world of Islam.
كما تعلمون فالزمامير هي أيضا محترمة في الإسلام في التراث الإسلامي.
Is Psalm 141. With my voice unto the Lord have I cried.
وصوتي إلى الله بكيت كثيرا.
With my voice unto the Lord have I made my supplication.
وأيضا تضرعت إلى الله بصوتي الضعيف.
I will pour out before him my supplication.
وسوف أخرج كل شيء من أحشائي له.
My affliction before him.
وأيضا الألم سوف أتكلم عن ألمي.
When my spirit was fainting within me.
لما روحي كانت ضعيفة بداخلي.
Then thou knowest my paths.
وأنت يا الله تعرف طريقي.
In this way wherein I have walked.
وهذه الطريقة في أي طريق مشيت.
They hid for me a snare.
وهمي أعدائي أرادوا أن يلقطوني.
I looked upon my right hand.
نظرت إلى يمين. ونظرت إلى.
And this seems to me to be the voice of the young.
وهذا هو صوت الشباب الصغار.
And there was no one that didn't know me.
ولم يكن هناك أي شخص لم يعرفني من قبل.
Flight had failed me.
لم أستطيع الهروب.
And there is none that watches over my soul.
ولا يوجد أي واحد الذي يراقب روحي سوى الله.
I have cried unto thee, O Lord.
وأنا بكيت لك يا الله.
I said.
وقلت.
Thou art my hope.
أنت أملي الوحيد.
My portion art thou.
وأنت جزئي.
In the land of the living.
في هذه الحياة.
Amen. It's so nice to have you with us again.
Thank you so much for coming.
Nice to meet you and to meet them all together.
Look, would you begin and then Sheikh Kapoor and then Harry? I've asked each of them to speak for 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, it's growing.
To open up the theme for us and then we will reflect together and my colleague Ibrahim will translate from English into Arabic.
the other one is true too.
Assalamu alaikum.
Peace be upon you.
هذه تحية الإسلام.
This is the greeting of Islam.
وهي تعني العهد.
And it means that we are establishing a covenant between me and you.
ومن كمالها ورحمة الله وبركاته.
And to complete this greeting is to say from God's mercy and compassion.
وكما سمعنا سيدنا داود الآن يطلب من الله الرحمة.
As we have heard to the David Psalm, God will take care of us. Only His care will take care of us, so to speak.
ولا شك أن كل عباد الله يرجون رحمة الله.
And there is no doubt that all the servants of God seek the blessings of God.
ولو تحققنا معشر عباد الله برضاء الله لعم السلام والخير في الأرض.
And if we are to realize the pleasure of God, then peace and prosperity would dominate over the earth.
إنما يجري في الساحة العالمية بني آدم.
What's going on globally today is because of the sins of humankind.
وخروجهم عن الخط الذي خططه الله لعباده.
And their deviation from the divine right path.
من خلال الرسالات السماوية المتتالية.
A right path established by the continuous divine revelations.
وقد ختمت تلك الرسالات بخاتم الأنبياء.
Divine revelations that were completed by the seal of the prophets and prophecies, Muhammad.
ففرق كبير بين good morning, good evening.
There is a big distinction or difference between good morning, good evening, and assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you.
طبعا كلمة good morning, good night,
naturally the word صباح الخير is a beautiful word.
لكن العهد بين الأطراف بأن يكونوا سالمين.
However, the covenant that we establish amongst each other,
هو عهد يؤخذ بين يدي الله سبحانه.
Is a covenant that is taken in the hands of God, between the hands of God, so to speak.
Between us, بين يدي الله, بيننا أمام الله.
Between us and God, in front of God.
فعندما نراقب الله كبني بشر
بأعمالنا, when we observe in our deeds God,
لا يسمح أحدنا لنفسه أن يخدع الآخرين,
we will not allow ourselves to deceive the other,
أو أن يؤذيه,
or to hurt the other.
So, السلام عليكم.
So, السلام عليكم. عليكم السلام.
فتبادل العهد.
So now we have a mutual covenant amongst us.
Alhamdulillah.
Blessed be God.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah.
In the name of God, most merciful, most compassionate. And may God have His own blessings and peace on all the messengers that He sent. Messengers that we love and dignify.
ونؤمن بالرسالات التي أنزلت
عليهم. And we do believe in the revelations revealed to them.
وبالكتب التي أنزلها الله عليهم.
The books descended to them or revealed to them.
هكذا شأن أصحاب الرسالات السماوية.
This has been the case of those divine revelations.
الاحترام والحب.
There is mutual respect amongst the carriers of divine revelations, that's to say the prophets.
والسعي إلى رضا الله جل.
And there is a pursuit to satisfy and please God.
طلب إلي أن أتحدث عن دور العلم والعلماء أمام الشباب والفتيات وعامة المجتمع.
I have been asked about the role of knowledge, religious knowledge, and the relationship between knowledge and the youth, especially in the West.
إن رسالة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم الأخيرة.
The prophetic message of Muhammad, which is the final one.
جاءت بالعلم.
Came with knowledge, is based on the basis of knowledge.
بدءا من العقيدة.
Beginning with doctrine or aqidah.
فالآية في القرآن الكريم تقول.
The verse in the Holy Quran says or narrates.
فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله.
And know that there is no God but Allah.
لم يقل قل بل قال فاعلم.
The verse does not say say, but it says اعلم, know that there is no God but Allah.
وآيات كثيرة في القرآن الكريم تتحدث عن العلم والعلماء.
In addition, there are numerous verses in the Quran that talk about knowledge and the scholars of those knowledge, of that knowledge.
من هذه الآيات.
One of these verses.
يقول تعالى هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون.
God says that those who know and those who do not know, are they equal?
يعني ذلك أن بينهما فرق كبير.
That's to say that there is a major gap between those who know and those who do not know.
فعندما يعلم الإنسان أولا يعرف ربه معرفة الله سبحانه وتعالى.
Knowledge in that way means that a human being, man or woman, would know God directly.
تكون عقيدته واضحة.
His or her doctrine would be clear.
وصلته بالله قوية.
His or her connection to God is very strong.
بعد العقيدة يتعلم كيف يتعبد الله.
After doctrine, he or she learns how to worship the divine.
وكيف يكون القرب وصلة لله سبحانه وتعالى.
And how closest to God will be possible because of that knowledge.
بعد ذلك بعد العبادة يتعلم.
After worship, that's to say human beings learn to.
كيف تكون علاقته مع الآخرين.
How to establish a good relationship with the others in human society.
بدءاً بأسرته الخليفة.
Beginning with their family.
ثم بمجتمعه.
And later on their society.
مجتمع الإسلامي. ثم بالمجتمع العالمي عام.
And then the universal society, the human universal society.
هذه الأحكام الشرعية.
These legal jurisdictions in Islam, Sharia jurisdictions.
نسميها الفقه الإسلامي.
We call them Islamic jurisprudence, fiqh, Islamic jurisprudence.
الفقه الإسلامي ينقسم إلى أقسام.
There are different classifications of Islamic jurisprudence.
قسم العبادات.
One of them is the classification or the part of ibadat, worship of God.
وهذا بين العبد وخالقه.
And this is between the creator and the creature, the servant of God.
قسم المعاملات.
The second one is the classification of social interaction, معاملات, social transactions.
منها العلاقات الاقتصادية والمالية.
Some of which are economic and financial relationships.
ومنها ما يسمى نظام الأسرة أو الأحوال الشخصية.
Another is the family system or private family system, the family system from a legal perspective.
بدءا من الأسرة.
Beginning with the family.
هناك أحكام فقهية تبين حقوق الرجل وحقوق المرأة.
There are legal jurisdictions in Islam that clarify the role and the function of both men and women in the family.
حقوق الزوج والزوجة.
The rights and the duties of the husband and the wife.
حقوق الأب والأبناء.
The rights of the parents and the children.
حقوق الجوار.
And the rights of the neighbors as well.
حقوق الناس فيما بينهم.
That's to say the rights of the people in their social interaction.
كل هذه الحقوق بنيت على العدل الإلهي.
All of these social rights are based on divine justice.
الذي حرم الظلم.
That has disallowed injustice, banned injustice.
الله سبحانه وتعالى حرم الظلم على نفسه.
God has banned injustice on himself first.
وحرمه على عباده.
And later on human beings.
وأمرهم أن ينشروا العدل بينهم.
And he commanded humanity to spread justice, disseminate justice amongst themselves.
والذي يخرج عن هذا العدل سيحاسبه الله.
Anyone who deviates from this path of justice will be accounted for in the day of judgment by God.
في الحديث الشريف.
In a blessed hadith, the saying of the Prophet of Islam.
أن المظلوم عندما يرفع يديه إلى الله.
Any oppressed person when they raise their hands to God.
ويرفع ظلامته إلى الله.
And complain about their injustice to God.
تخرج هذه الدعوة إلى الله.
This call of the oppressed will go directly to God or the divine.
فيسأله الله من أنت وهو يعلمها.
And God will ask the complaint itself, the call, although he knows the source of the call. Who are you? Why are you coming to me? And it says that I am the call of the oppressed. I raise my complaint to you, O God. So God will swear by his greatness that I will make you victorious even after a while.
فمن العبادة لله نشر العدل في الأرض.
Therefore, a dimension of worship of God is to disseminate justice on earth.
بدءا من علاقة الزوجين.
Beginning with the relationship with the spouses in the one family.
وانطلاقا إلى أفراد المجتمع جميعا.
And going from there to the rest of society.
العلم الشرعي الإسلامي.
The meaning of legal knowledge in Islam.
ليس فقط ينظم العلاقة بين أفراد المجتمع.
Does not only organize the relationship amongst members of the one society.
على العدل والخير.
On the basis of righteousness and justice.
بل يوائم بين المادة والروح.
It makes the relationship between matter and soul a fitting relationship, an appropriate relationship.
لأننا نحن كمخلوقين بني البشر.
Because we as created human beings by God.
نحن مادة.
We are made of matter.
وروح.
And spirit.
ولا ينبغي أن يطغى جانب على جانب.
And we should maintain a balance between matter and spirit in our lives.
عندما تكون المعادلة بين المادة والروح.
When the relationship between matter and spirit is balanced.
تستوي حياة الفرد وحياة المجتمع.
Our life in society will be straightforward.
وعندما تطغى المادة.
But if matter oppresses spirit in our lives.
يخل التوازن.
Then we have no balance at all. We have imbalance in society.
وإذا طغت الروح اختلف التوازن.
Also if the spirit dominates, then we have imbalance in our lives.
لا بد من المعادلة.
We have to have a balanced relationship.
هذه المعادلة نجدها في الأحكام الشرعية.
We find this type of balance in Islamic law. In Sharia law.
لأن الذي خلقنا هو الذي أنزل الشريعة.
Because the one, the God who created us, is the one who revealed Sharia to us.
وضمن لمن يتبعها الحياة الطيبة في الدنيا.
And made sure that those who follow that type of balance will have a good, righteous life in their lives.
وضمن له أيضا
and made sure that they would maintain or obtain eternal felicity in the afterlife.
الحضارة العالمية اليوم
universal civilization today
التي طغت عليها المادة على حساب الروح
where matter has overcome spirit
هذه حضارة عرجاء
is a handicapped civilization.
فعلا إنها عرجاء.
Truly it is handicapped.
بدليل واقع الأمم في الأرض اليوم.
And we can testify to that by the political and economic situation of many nations today.
وواقع الظلم الذي يمارس على الشعوب.
And the condition of oppression, the reality of oppression imposed on so many poor nations in the world.
لو أن من بيدهم القرار.
Those who have the decision-making process in their hands.
تربوا على تنسيق المادة والروح.
If they were cultivated in that, in the context of balance between matter and spirit.
ووضعوا بأذانهم أنهم عبيد لله.
And if they followed the idea that they are only servants of the divine.
وأن الله حرم الظلم في جميع الرسالات.
And God had indeed forbidden injustice in all divine revelations.
لما طغى الإنسان على أخيه الإنسان.
They would never dominate and oppress other human beings and other nations.
ولا سمح القوي لنفسه أن يأكل.
And the powerful would never allow himself or herself to take advantage of the poor and the weak. Today's life is only for the strong. If humanity were to get rid of all of these different wars on the planet Earth, then it has to go back, return to the essence of divine revelations that organizes the relationship between the creator and the created.
وعلاقة العبيد والإنسان فيما بينه.
And the relationship between all of us as created beings by God.
وظيفة العلماء في الشريعة الإسلامية.
The function of the ulama in Islamic law, ulama that's to say Muslim scholars in Islamic law.
أن يربوا الشباب والفتيات.
Is to cultivate the youth, both female and male.
على هذه المعاني الدقيقة.
To follow these intricate meanings that I have just presented to you.
حتى تنظم العلائق فيما بين أفراد البشر.
So that the relationships amongst us in society will be organized in that image or in that vein.
الأحكام الشرعية جعلت للزوج مثلا حقوقا.
Islamic jurisprudence have given or has given certain rights to the husband.
حقوقا له وحقوقا عليه.
But also certain rights for him and certain rights upon him. That's to say by his wife and for his wife and his kids. And the wife also has her rights, but there are certain rights upon her. That's to say duties upon her. The holy verse in the Quran says, in terms of righteousness, they are equal, both men and women.
وللرجال عليهن درجة.
But men have only one status above women. One status. درجة is translated into English as a status or step or position. Only one position that is higher than women.
هذه البوزيشن ستيب هذه الدرجة.
This status.
يعني الرعاية.
Means that men have to take care financially of their wives.
الإنفاق.
To spend financially on the wife.
السهر على مصلحة الأسرة.
To take care of the needs of the family.
الخدمة التي ليس فيها أذى لأنه واجب شرعي.
To serve the family without hurting other people.
كذلك جعل حقوقا له وعليه بين الأب والابن.
And also in terms of the relationship between, let's say, the father and the child, there are certain rights for the father as well as for the child.
بين الجار والجار الذي يسكن إلى جار.
Also rights between him and their neighbors.
فبحق الجار مثلا.
In terms of the rights of the neighbors in Islam.
ما زال في الحديث ما زال جبريل يوصيني بالجار حتى.
In a famous hadith, so the prophet, the angel Gabriel, has advised me to take care of the neighbor so many times, and I thought that he wanted to tell me, inherit your neighbor, give your property to your neighbor.
وأطلق الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام كلمة الجار لم يقل الجار المسلم.
And our Rasul, the Prophet, did not say the Muslim neighbor. It is any neighbor.
Any neighbor. في الحديث أيضا المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه.
In another famous hadith that a Muslim, a person who submits himself herself to God, is the person who lives peacefully with his neighbors and his family.
المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده وفي رواية أخرى من سلم الناس من لسانه ويده.
The true Muslim is a person who does not hurt any other Muslim, but in another narration of the hadith, who doesn't hurt any other human being, Muslim and non-Muslim.
لا أكون مسلما حقيقا صحيحا.
I cannot be a true Muslim unless
إذا سلم كل الناس من لساني أن أعتدي عليه.
Unless I live in a peaceful way with all human beings.
وأن يسلم من يدي بأن أوصل لهم أذى بيدي.
And that I would not hurt them physically.
بل ينبغي علي كمسلم أن أكون أداة نفع لجميع الناس.
It behooves me as a Muslim to be a vehicle of the good to all human beings.
بل الأحكام الشرعية نظرت العلاقة بيننا وبين البيئة.
In the legal jurisdictions in Islam, there's also a proper relationship between us human beings and ecology.
لا يجوز في الإسلام أن نقطع الشجرة أبدا.
We should not cut off the trees.
لا يجوز أن نستظل في ظل شجرة ونؤذي المكان بالأوساخ بأي شيء.
We should not ruin the environment. We should not fill it up with garbage or ruin it.
كان من وصايا قائد الجيش عندما أرسل الجيوش في الفتح الإسلامي.
In the process of Islamic conquest, one of the major advice given to the leaders of the army, of the Muslim army.
أخذ من حديث النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام.
On the basis of the sayings of the Prophet.
لا يوصي القائد جنده.
That the Muslim leader would advise his own soldiers saying,
لا تقطعوا شجرة.
Do not destroy a tree.
لا تحرقوا زرعا.
Do not burn any plants.
لا تخربوا دارا.
Do not destroy a house.
لا تقتلوا طفلا.
Do not kill an infant.
لا تقتلوا امرأة.
Do not kill a woman.
لا تقتلوا رجلا عاجزا.
Do not kill an elderly person.
ستجدون رجالا قطعوا أنفسهم في كنائسهم عابدهم.
You will find so many monks who have isolated themselves from humanity to worship the divine.
دعوهم وما قطعوا.
Leave them alone to worship God.
قاتلوا من يقاتلكم.
Fight only those who fight you.
أي دفاعا عن النفس.
That's to say in self-defense.
لأنهم ما خرجوا ليستعمروا أرضا.
Because the Muslims never got out of Arabia in order to colonize other people.
ولا يستثمروا خيرات.
Or to take advantage of the products of other people.
ولا يمنعوا حريات.
Or to prevent the freedoms of other people.
بل ليوصلوا هذه الدعوة إلى الآخرين.
But to convey this divine message to the others.
وباختصار أن نحرر الإنسان من عبادة الإنسان.
In brevity, the main idea is to emancipate human beings from the oppression of other human beings so that they can worship the divine.
عمر بن الخطاب سيد الخلفاء الراشدين.
The second caliph Omar ibn Khattab says,
متى استعبدتم الناس وقد ولدتهم؟
Who has given you the right to enslave human beings when God created them free?
وظيفة العالم الشرعي.
The function of the legal scholar in Islam.
أن يوصل إلى الشباب وإلى الفتيات وإلى أبناء المجتمع.
Is to convey to the youth and society at large.
هذه الأحكام الشرعية.
These legal jurisdictions in Islam.
وليس العلم من أجل العلم إنما العلم من أجل العمل.
And knowledge should not be taken for knowledge sake but for the sake of action and deeds in society.
لذلك أمر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام.
Therefore the Prophet ordered us or commanded us to
طلب العلم,
to search for knowledge.
وجعله فريضة على كل مسلم ومسلمة.
And he made knowledge to be a legal duty on the shoulders of every Muslim woman and every Muslim man.
لأن العبادات نظمت بأحكام فقهية.
Because worship in Islam is organized under Islamic law.
إن كان الصيام أو الصلاة.
In terms of fasting or prayer or doing the pilgrimage or paying alms to the poor.
كلها أحكام مفصلة.
There are legal, detailed legal jurisdictions of all of these worships in Islam.
وهذا جزء من الفقه الإسلامي.
And this is only one minute part of Islamic law.
ففي الحديث
in a famous hadith of the prophet
من يريد الله به خيرا يفقه في الدين.
If God wants somebody good for a person, man or woman, then God will teach them how to understand the intricate details of their faith.
هكذا يأمر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أتباعه.
And that's the command given by the Prophet to the Muslims.
أن يتفقهوا في دينهم.
To understand the essence of their religion.
ليعرفوا كيف يتعبدون الله بحق.
As a way to understand how to worship God in a true way.
وكيف يعيشون مع بني الإنسان بالعدل.
And how to live with other human beings in the context of justice.
بالأخلاق.
In the context of ethics.
التي أرسل بها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Delivered to the Prophet of God and other prophets of God by God.
في آيات من القرآن الكريم.
In the context of the explicit Quranic verses.
منها وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين.
One of which is that we have indeed sent you as a mercy to humanity at large.
ومنها وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم.
And another one is that you truly are the follower of great ethics, complete ethics.
وكانت وظيفة الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام
the function of the prophet was
أن يوصل هذه التعليمات هذا الشرع هذا الدين إلى الناس
to convey all of these teachings and legislations to humanity, to human beings.
ولكنه لم يؤمر أن يكرههم على الإسلام
but he was never ordered by God to force them to accept Islam.
لأن الله يقول في القرآن الكريم
because God says in the Holy Quran
لا إكراه في الدين
there is no force or compulsion in religion.
ويقول له في موضع آخر
and God says in a different verse
مخاطبا النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام
addressing the prophet
ليس عليك هداهم
you cannot guide them human beings.
إنما عليه عليه الصلاة والسلام كسائر الرسل أن يوصل رسالة إلى الناس.
But the function of the prophet, like other prophets before him, is to communicate and convey the divine message to the human beings.
وأن يضيء لهم طريق الحياة.
And to light to them the path of life.
وأن يعلمهم كيف يعيشوا في هذه الحياة الدنيا.
And to teach them how to live in this world.
بأمان واطمئنان.
In security and safety.
ليضمن لهم السعادة الأبدية في الآخرة.
To make sure that they will retain or accept eternal felicity in the afterworld.
لأننا كمؤمنين.
Because we as believers, women and men.
وأعني جميع المؤمنين الذين يتبعون جميع الأنبياء.
And I mean all the believers of all the divine revelations, not only Muslims.
نعتقد أننا.
We believe that.
بعد الموت سنُبعث.
After death.
جديدة.
After death will be resurrected. To a new life for the day of judgment. So that the person who did good in life will be compensated by God.
وليعاقب المسيء على
and the evil doer will be punished by God.
وشاء الله أن يجعل الجنة للمؤمنين العاملين.
And God has so willed that Jannah, Paradise, is given to the believers, men and women.
والنار لمن لم يؤمنوا بالله أو
and hellfire to those and hellfire to those who did not believe in God or those who believed but did not follow the commands of God in their own practical lives. Therefore the word Islamic fiqh jurisprudence it's a major title, a broad title.
أحكام في العبادات.
I have given you some transactions or some judgments.
وأحكام في المعاملات.
In terms of social transactions and worship.
في الأسرة في علاقات.
The family system, the relationship in society.
في الاقتصاد.
In economics.
في تنظيم أمور الحرب والسلم.
In organizing times of peace and war.
كل ذلك في ظل العدل.
All of this has to be done in the context of justice.
وظيفة أخرى للعلماء.
Another function of the ulama is quite significant or critical.
يبين للشباب وللفتيات ولأبناء المجتمع.
That we have to clarify to the youth and other people.
كيف تتصل القلوب بخالقها.
How to connect our hearts to the divine or the creator.
كيف تنمو الروح.
How we can nurture our souls.
الإيمانية.
Believing souls.
بين العبد وخالقه.
Between God and us.
في الحديث الشريف.
In a blessed hadith of the Prophet.
أن جبريل أتى يسأل.
That Gabriel came asking the Prophet of God.
ما الإيمان.
What is belief.
فعدد له أركان الإيمان.
الرسول ولا جبريل.
جبريل سأل رسول الله. ما الإيمان.
What is belief.
فعدد له أركان الإيمان.
And he enumerated to the prophet the numbers or the items of belief.
الإيمان بالله.
The belief in God.
وملائكته.
In the angels.
وكتبه.
In the books of God.
ورسله.
In the messengers of God.
اليوم الآخر.
In the final day of judgment.
والقضاء والقدر.
In the notion of destiny and final destiny.
ثم يسأله سؤال آخر. ما الإسلام؟
Then he asked the prophet, what is Islam?
أن تؤمن بالله.
Is to believe in God.
وبرسوله.
In the messenger of God, that's to say Muhammad.
إقامة الصلاة.
To establish prayers 5 times a day.
صوم رمضان.
To fast the month of Ramadan.
إيتاء الزكاة.
To pay zakah or alms to the poor.
الحج إلى بيت الله الحرام.
And to make a pilgrimage to the house of God in Mecca.
هذه العبادات منها مادي محض.
These worships, some of them are material or physical in a pure way.
الزكاة.
That's to say, paying zakah. You have to pay money.
الذي فيه التكافل الاجتماعي.
That lead to social solidarity in society, economic solidarity. Another is bodily, when you pray and you have to kneel and all of that.
لتنمو روح التواصل مع الله.
So that the spirit of communication with God will grow.
ومنها عبادة مالية بدنية.
Therefore, there is another form of worship which is financial and physical, Hajj, pilgrimage, because you have to pay money and you have to travel. You have to spend so much money to go to the house of God. And you have to spend so much of your energy in order to fulfill the rites of Hajj in Arabia. This is what I have talked about in terms of the balance between matter and soul.
نرجع إلى الحديث جبريل يسأل رسول الله.
Let's go back to the hadith where Gabriel asked the Prophet of God.
أولا ما الإيمان؟
What is belief or faith?
ما الإسلام؟
What is Islam?
ثم يسأله ما الإحسان؟
Then he asked the Prophet or Jibril.
يسأل الرسول ما الإحسان؟
He asked what is إحسان? إحسان means generosity, but spiritual generosity.
Yes.
Yeah.
يقول يجيبه أن تعبد الله كأنك ترى.
And the answer is. You worship God as though you see Him. If you don't see Him, He sees you.
He sees you.
Then he asks him, when is the hour, the final hour of the day of judgment? And here the Prophet responds to him. And he knows that the asker, the one who asked him, is the prophet, the angel Gabriel, who was sent by God.
يقول له ما المسؤول أعلم من السائل أنا وأنت لا نعلم متى لا يعلمه إلا الله.
And he said that you, as the person who asked, you do not know as much as I don't know about this, because the only one who knows is God.
أتمنى لو أن الوقت يسمح لي أن أتكلم أكثر.
I wish I had more time to speak. However, I have to be committed to the time set up by my Christian friend David.
He said about 15-20
hours. He meant some hours.
Thank you so much.
شكرا جزيلا لكم.
نحن نشكر. نشكر ترحيبكم بنا في إدمنتون.
We are really grateful for welcoming us so warmly here in Canada.
ونتمنى أن نراكم في الشام في دمشق.
And I hope to see all of you in Damascus, Syria.
رأينا مستر ديفيد.
As we saw David and Nick and Father Paolo.
وندعوكم إلى زيارة سوريا.
And I do invite you to visit us in Syria.
وأدعوكم إلى أن تتعرفوا على الإسلام الحقيقي بعيدا عن الإعلام المشوه.
And I do invite you to come to know real Islam away or distant from the mass media and the deformed images presented to us by the mass media.
اللهم أرنا الحق حقا.
Oh God, show us the righteous path.
وأرنا الباطل.
And make us follow in that path.
وارزقنا اجتنابه.
And show us the evil path and make us alienate ourselves from the path of the evil.
Thank you so much.
شكرا جزيلا لكم.
I'm going to ask President Harry Krenhoff to speak next, and he'll be followed by.
Oh, Rais Awalshi, but in the show. Do you want any translation to Latin or whatever language you choose?
Please translate to us Arabic.
We have several Catholics here who do not speak English.
Well, I was taught by Catholic nuns and priests in my hometown, Nazareth. I am the only Christian in the group since I come from Nazareth. So I could do that, perhaps.
Well, assalamu alaikum.
I love the idea with which Rimuti began
that,
this greeting establishes a covenant. The idea of covenant has been very important and formative in the community that gave birth to this university. It's also a pleasure to welcome the two of you back to University College. And it's a real honor for me to join you in reflecting on this very important topic. I believe that David invited me to speak on this topic of caring for the souls of the young because he heard by... somebody told him, I suspect it was Arlette, that I had attended two conferences on the theme of spiritual formation in a Christian university context recently. As you will soon discover, the fact that I attended two conferences on this subject doesn't make me an expert at all. But I want to talk today about the role of a university, particularly a Christian university, because that's what I'm familiar with, in caring for the souls of the young. One thing that I learned at the two conferences that I attended is that among Christians, I love having a translator because this is the one time that I will learn to speak at the same rate that my brain actually travels rather than
slowly.
So one thing I learned at these conferences is that there are very different ideas, understandings among Christians as to what spiritual formation actually is, or what caring for the souls of the young is. So some Christian educators would limit this topic of caring for the souls of the young to things like prayer, Bible study, prayer groups or Bible study groups, pastoral care, or specific religious instruction by the university chaplain. I should tell you right away that I don't share that understanding of spiritual formation. In my view, education, more specifically university education, whether it happens here at the King's University College or whether it happens at the Al-Fateh Islamic Institute in Damascus or whether it happens at the University of Alberta, is a deeply spiritual engagement, not merely an intellectual engagement. When we educate, no matter where we do that, we are inevitably and unavoidably caring for the souls of the young. To explain this a bit, I want to recall some comments made by Sheikh Farfour during our guest's previous visit here to King's. One of our professors here at King's asked the Sheikh for a word of wisdom or advice
and hikmah
for Christians who live as sojourners in a culture whose temple is the shopping mall and whose values are extremely materialistic and this worldly,
supermarket, وليس الكنيسة الحقيقية.
Or referring to what the Mufti said earlier, a culture where matter dominates.
هون المادة هي أعلى من الروح.
The Sheikh's response went something like this:
وجواب الشيخ,
to make their way in such a culture and to shape a life consistent with their religious commitments, people need to know who they are, why they are here, for what purpose, where their lives are leading to, where they are going, and so on. Well, that response brought some smiles of recognition to the faces of some of us from Kings. These are what we call worldview issues. Who am I? Where am I? What's the purpose of my life? And so on. And these are the kinds of questions that that are at the heart or soul of a community or a culture. And these are also the sorts of questions that universities should be engaged with. I recently picked up this book called Cultivating the Spirit. I've only had time to read a few pages because presidents don't have a lot of reading time.
Because ما عنديش وقت كثير قراءة كرئيس.
But the authors of this book believe that what they call the big questions that preoccupy students are essentially spiritual questions.
الأسئلة طلاب واجهوها هي.
Again, who am I?
من أنا؟
What are my most deeply felt values? Do I have a purpose or mission in life? Why am I in university anyway? What kind of person do I want to become? What sort of world do I want to help create? These are questions that set a frame of reference for the way people shape their lives. Or we could say that responses to those sorts of questions, which are deeply spiritual questions, provide a narrative or a story about who I am and how my life story, my participation in the Christian story or the Islamic story makes sense of my life. But Western mainstream university education is strangely silent on these matters. Again, the authors of this book, Cultivating the Spirit, write as follows. While higher education continues to put a lot of emphasis on test scores, grades, credits, and degrees, it has increasingly come to neglect students' inner development, the sphere of values and beliefs, emotional maturity, moral development, spirituality, and self-understanding. In other words, mainstream higher education in the West, we could say, is neglecting the care of the souls of the young. This neglect is very strange when we consider that higher education in the Western tradition, since at least the time of the ancient Greek philosophers, was not merely an intellectual exercise or matter of collecting credits and degrees, but was about forming persons. It was about, in
instilling moral fiber and shaping character. That's what a liberal arts education, as we call it in our societies, was supposed to do. But in the last 150 years, the nature of university education has changed dramatically. I think here of a book by the Christian historian George Marsden, who the title of his book is The Soul of the American University. Now, he could say North American, or he could say Western, but he's talking specifically about universities in the United States. And the subtitle of the book is From Protestant Establishment to Established Unbelief. And the argument of the book is that the prevailing vision or spirit of mainstream university education in America, and I would say in Canada as well, has shifted dramatically from an alignment with a generally Protestant vision of life to a secular vision of life and its answers to the questions of who am I and what am I here for and so on. And as a result, there has been a dramatic shift in the way universities care for the souls of the young, if they care at all. So as the authors of that book indicate, education has too often become an intellectual exercise dealing in grades, credits, and degrees, and narrow disciplinary specializations, without attention to the unifying larger goals of education, those spiritual issues that I mentioned previously. Now, that broad context of mainstream university education presents both a great challenge and a great opportunity, I believe, for the kind of education that this institution, the King's University College, attempts to engage in. In a book called Desiring the Kingdom, Christian philosopher James Smith asks, what if higher education is not primarily about the absorption of ideas and information, but about the formation of hearts and desires? What if we began appreciating how education not only gets into our head, but also and more fundamentally gets into our heart? What if education wasn't first and foremost about what we know, but about what we love? So I think from a what we try to do in the Christian university context is to try to imagine education as an exercise in shaping the heart, in the heart in the sense of the place in within the human self where all of our capacities converge, our intellect, our senses, our emotions, our imagination, our intuition, in a word, our soul. As I said, this is the challenge of Christian higher education, to try to capture, or you could say recapture, a sense of education as a deeply spiritual engagement, while living in a world where this is not a significant focus in the mainstream culture, a materialistic culture. Jonathan Raymond, who is my colleague at Trinity Western University, has written that a Christian university pursues ends that are different from just any ordinary university. He says that when a university is not merely an exercise in running the gauntlet, I don't know if you've got a word for that, Ibrahim?
Yes.
Running the gauntlet of courses and requirements, not merely a transaction of cash for credits, tuition for degrees, then that institution is free to be something more. A Christian university, he writes, is free to go beyond transaction to transformation. And that theme of transformation is, I believe, very central to a Christian university's care for the souls of the young. So, for example, at this institution, at the King's University College, we say that education here is an invitation and no compulsion, as you also said, Mufti. Education is an invitation to personal transformation. We say that King's is committed to fostering redemptive change in the thoughts, hearts, and lives of members of this academic community, rooted in each person's response to the good news of the gospel. Education here is not only about developing academic or professional competencies and skills. It's about teaching each other in all wisdom. That's the phrase that is on our institutional seal, our symbol. A quote from the New Testament book of Colossians, teaching each other in all wisdom and challenging each other to grow in integrity as what we call ambassadors of reconciliation. That is a reference to the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where the author, Paul, talks about Christians being remade in the image of Christ and being called to be ambassadors of reconciliation to the world, to help set things right in terms of justice and equity and all those things that you have mentioned too. We also say that education here at King's is about challenging and equipping people to transform culture, to be a redemptive presence in our world, and to try to shape our world in the direction of the good and redemptive purposes of God. So, members of this academic community are challenged to be engaged in our world, animated, inspired by the hope that one day all of culture, that injustice, poverty, hunger, and so forth will be no more, because things will be set right. And our calling as human beings is to bend our lives in that direction. So we say in our mission statement that our goal is to provide university education that inspires and equips learners to bring renewal and reconciliation to every walk of life, to every place of life, as followers of the King for whom this institution is named. Now, I think we need to acknowledge that it's very difficult for the younger generation living in the culture in which we live to be inspired and equipped to live in that manner. Because they live in a culture that gives different answers to those deeply spiritual questions that I mentioned before. So in the media and in our surroundings, the question, who am I, is answered with, you are a consumer. And the question of what is the problem in our life, in this world, the answer is, you don't have enough stuff. The response to the question, well, what is the solution to that problem, is make more money to buy more stuff. That's true on the individual level, and it's also true on the level, on the societal level. Think of the preoccupation of our governments in the West, the sole preoccupation with economic growth. That's the story that our culture is telling the young. And the challenge of Christian higher education, and I assume of Islamic higher education, is to inspire and equip the young to live faithfully to their beliefs in that kind of a culture. I want to come back a moment to one of the words in the greeting, greeting that you always use with one another, the word salam.
Salam.
I assume that is the same as the Hebrew word shalom, peace. Except that in the Holy Scriptures, shalom means much more than peace, like as in the absence of violence. Shalom means a state in which everything in this universe, everything in this creation, is in its proper place and in right relationship with each other and with God. So we talk about higher education here at King's, university education here at King's, as education for shalom. We would like our professors, our students, our whole academic community to be inspired by the vision of shalom, in which all things are right with each other and with God, and to bend our lives in that direction. I think that is the that is the challenge of education in our times and place here, and it is the fundamental way in which we seek to care for the souls of the young and equip them to live in a way that that makes for peace, well-being, shalom. For now and in the future. So that I trust that will give us a few things to talk about together.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, President. It's now my pleasure to introduce Sheikh Fafour, who is the Vice Rector of the Al-Fatah Institute in Damascus, just down the road, actually, from where the Apostle Paul was knocked off his horse. Those of you who are Christian, and not far from the house of Ananias. The Al-Fatah Institute is unique.
How are you?
Faith-based university in Damascus.
in that it brings students from the whole of Dar es Salaam, the whole of the House of Islam. And they are educated there, women and men, from all over the Muslim world.
Give you the
and it's my pleasure to spend a few days there as well. So it's a lovely place, and I'm delighted you're here to speak with us.
He loves coffee. No need for translation.
الحقيقة أنا لا أدري من أين أنطلق في أفكاري.
I do not know where to begin. He's not the only one. We're in the same boat.
سماحة المفتي أخذ حصة كبيرة مما كنت أريد.
The Mufti said most of what I wanted to say. Because he's the Mufti.
السيد رئيس الجامعة أخذ القسم الآخر.
And the president took the other part.
Oh, we're done now. We're done now.
Yes, we are finished.
وهذه السطور التي قالوها.
And these lines that they have presented to us this afternoon.
سأعمل بذكاء لأقرأ ما خلف السطور التي قالوها.
I will be quite smart to read behind the lines, so to speak.
ولأغوص في البحور التي خاضوها.
And to dive deeply into the oceans that they have traversed.
لأستخرج بعض الكنوز التي والأفكار التي يمكن.
In order to get out some of the treasures that they have talked about.
أنا طلب مني أن أتكلم عن العنف.
I was asked to speak about violence.
عند بعض المسلمين ولا سيما الشباب.
Violence and the youth from an Islamic perspective.
أعتقد أن العنف عند الشباب هو جزء من العنف في المجتمعات.
I think that youth violence is only part and parcel of the collective view violence in society.
وإن كان يمكننا أن نتكلم عنه ببعض الخصوصيات.
Although we can talk about specific examples of that violence.
بداية العنف هو ليس محصورا في دين أو مذهب أو جماعة أو أمة مخصصة.
Violence is not limited to a certain religion, community or people.
تاريخيا.
From an historical perspective.
حصل أعمال عنف كثيرة.
Lots of violence took place in the past.
هنا في أمريكا تم إبادة الهنود الحمر.
In North America, the natives were exterminated.
تحت اسم الكشوف الكبرى.
Under the umbrella of greater discoveries.
ورسالة الرجل الأبيض.
And under the umbrella of the mission of the white man.
وسمي هذا العمل السيء على أنه موضع افتخار لأنه كشوف كبرى وما زال.
And this evil deed was called considered to be a great discovery, and it is still being taught in Western universities as such.
والمشكلة أن هذا تم تحت مظلة المسيحية وهذه مشكلة.
However, the problem is that this had taken place under the umbrella of Christianity.
علما بأن المسيحية هي رسالة محبة وسلام.
Although we know that Christianity is a message of love and peace.
ولا يمكن لعاقل أن يلصق هذا بالمسيحية بالرسالة.
And no rational person can blame Christianity for that.
تاريخيا كان هناك الحروب الصليبية.
Historically we had the Crusades.
وهي مظهر من مظاهر العنف.
And it was only a reflection or a dimension of violence, historical violence.
وكانت عملا استعماريا شريرا.
And it was an act of high colonization that was evil in nature.
بلم فيها الصليب والسيد المسيح لأنها نسبت إليهما.
Where both the cross and Jesus were in a sense blamed for that because they were connected to this by the Crusades.
وتمت إبادة شعوب بأكملها في الشرق.
And as a result, lots of people were exterminated because of the Crusades.
من المسلمين.
Muslims.
وبل ومن المسيحيين الشرقيين.
And even indigenous Christians.
حتى فر بطريرك الأرثوذكس من أنطاكيا ولجأ إلى صلاح الدين الأيوبي في دمشق.
To the extent that the patriarch of Antioch escaped in the 11th century from Antioch and he resorted to Damascus.
لا يمكننا أن نلصق هذا برسالة السيد المسيح.
We cannot blame all of this on the message of Jesus.
هناك أمثلة أخرى في التاريخ.
I can give other examples in history.
عند غير المسلمين.
Especially for non-Muslims.
وأنا سأتكلم عن بعض هذا العنف التطرف عند المسلمين أيضا.
And I will also talk about violence amongst Muslims as well.
محاكم التفتيش.
The Inquisition in Spain.
كانت تقتل الناس على الضمائر على الاعتقاد.
Used to kill people because of their conscience or doctrine of their belief system.
في حين أن الحكم الإسلامي بقي 800 قرون.
Whereas the Muslim rule in Spain had lasted for 800 years.
وكان سبب بقاء هذه المدة الطويلة.
And the long-lasting duration of Islam in Spain.
أنه أعطى الناس حرية الاعتقاد.
It's because Islam gave freedom of religion to people.
مسيحيين ويهود ومسلمين.
Christians, Jews, and Muslims.
واليهود لم يذبحوا إلا حينما سقطت الدولة الإسلامية في الأندلس.
And Jews were slaughtered only after the fall of the Muslim state in Andalusia.
أيضا في التاريخ الحديث.
Also in modern history.
ما جرى في البلقان في البوسنة والهرسك من تصفية عرقية.
What took place in the Balkans in Eastern Europe in terms of racial extermination.
قام بها الصرب.
It was carried out by the Serbs.
من أرثوذكس والكروات الكاثوليك.
Croatian and Orthodox.
لتصفية المسلمين. حيث قتل ربع مليون مسلم من أطفال ونساء.
In order to exterminate the Muslims, over 250,000 Muslims were killed.
ومن الظلم أن نقول إن هذا من الرسالة المسيحية.
And it would be just unjust to say that this is part of the message of Christianity. It's not.
اليهود تاريخهم حافل بقتل الأنبياء وقتل النساء والأطفال.
شرح ترجمة.
وكذلك هناك ما يجري الآن على الساحة الدولية.
What's going on nowadays globally?
في فلسطين.
In Palestine especially.
هناك عملية إبادة شعب بكامله.
There is an extermination of a whole nation.
وسرقة أرض وطن.
And the theft, continuous theft of his land, of its land.
وسفك للدماء الزكية.
And the massacre of innocent blood.
هذا عنف وغير مقبول.
This violence is not acceptable.
والمشكلة أنه يتم تحت اسم الديمقراطية.
And the problem that it is carried out in the name of democracy.
والقانون الدولي.
And international law.
وبمباركة وسكوت من الغرب.
While being blessed by the West.
في حالة ضعف العالم الإسلامي والعربي.
Under the conditions of the weakness of the Arab and Muslim worlds.
ما تقوم به القوى العالمية.
What the great powers are doing nowadays internationally.
من عسكرة العالم.
In terms of the militarization of the world.
واحتلال بلاد الإسلامية
جيوشها. And the occupation with their army Muslim lands. The occupation of Muslim lands.
كما يجري في فلسطين وفي العراق وفي أفغانستان.
It is happening in Palestine, in Iraq, in Afghanistan.
هو أحد الأسباب المباشرة.
Has been one of the major reasons.
التي تظهر العنف عند المسلمين. وأثير الشباب.
Behind violence in the Muslim world, especially amongst Muslim youth, as a reaction.
طبعا هناك أسباب أخرى في اعتقاد.
But also to my mind there are different reasons for violence.
أشار إليها السيد رئيس الجامعة.
That the president has talked about.
وهي مشتركة بين المسيحيين والمسلمين.
And these reasons are common amongst Muslims and Christians.
أن المناهج التربوية في المدارس والجامعات
That's the university and the school curricula
تخلو من تربية الروح
are empty of spiritual formation.
ولا سيما العالم الإسلامي يحذو حذو الغرب الآن في التربية.
And the problem is that the Muslim world, in order to modernize, is following in the footsteps of the West.
والحضارة الغربية
Western civilization
هي اعتنت بالوسائل بالعلم
has taken care of science
وأهملت الغايات
but has given up on the purposes behind science and life
وهي الحكمة
and the غايات the goals constitute what we call divine wisdom
ورأس الحكمة أن نعلم رسالة الإنسان
and the marrow of wisdom is to understand the human message or mission
سابقا
in the past
قبل عصر الاستعمار
before colonization
في العالم الإسلامي
in the Muslim world
كانت مناهجنا التربوية
our curricula of education
تعتني بالحكمة
took advantage of the notion of hikmah or wisdom
وتربي القلب
and it used to cultivate the hearts of the young
وتزكي النفس
and to purify the soul
عملا بالمنهج القرآني
in order to follow in the footsteps of the Quran
نحن في مؤسستنا الآن
we in our institute in Syria nowadays
ما زلنا نحافظ
we are still preserving this method
على مناهج التعليم الإسلامية
this method of Islamic teaching
التي تجمع بين العقل والروح
that balances between matter and spirit
تربي الفكر العقل وتربي القلب والروح
it cultivates thought or reason as well as the heart
أعتقد
I do believe
أن مزيدا من التربية الروحية
that an extra spiritual education or formation
والعودة بجيل الشباب
and to take the hands of the youth back to this context
إلى الإيمان الصحيح
to true belief
وحسن العلاقة بينهم وبين الله عز وجل
in order to establish a righteous relationship between them and God
وأن يعرفوا أن مهمتهم
and in order to teach them to know their own role
ورسالتهم
their own mission
هو تحقيق العبودية لله
which is to realize divine worship in their lives
وأن يكونوا عباد الله الصالحين
and to be the true servants of God
وأن مهمتهم هو حفظ السلام العالمي
and that their major goal should be to preserve universal peace
ونشر الحق والعدل
and to disseminate justice and righteousness
والأخلاق
and ethics
ومحبة الإنسان لأخيه الإنسان
and the mutual love amongst human beings
وتعاون الإنسان مع أخيه الإنسان
and mutual cooperation
الذي يوافقه في الاعتقاد في الدين أو يخالفه
between all human beings regardless of doctrine or belief
لأن الإسلام قرر هذا
because Islam has decided that as well
وكل الأنبياء والمرسلين قرروا هذا
and all the messengers and prophets also decided that
لأن المرسل هو الله واحد
because the sender is the same God
في القرآن الكريم قال تعالى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا
in the Holy Quran God says we have indeed made you nations and tribes so that you may come to know each other
إن هذا لا نظام العالمي الذي زعمته الإدارة الأمريكية السابقة.
This universal world disorder declared by the previous Bush administration.
وقالوا نظام عالمي ونقول لا نظام عالمي.
They said it was a new world order, but this is a new world disorder.
هو في الحقيقة.
In reality.
انحدار.
Is a major fall.
في الإنسانية.
Is a major eclipse. In humanity
وانتكاسة.
And a major pitfall return in civilization
حضارية نعم بل هو فضيحة حضارية
it is truly a civilizational scandal
في القرن الحادي والعشرين
in the 21st century
بعد أن وصل الإنسان إلى الفضاء
after humanity has succeeded to get to the moon
حتى نتجنب العنف عند الشباب
in order to avoid youth violence
لابد من أمور
we have to look at certain things
دفع ظلم الأقوياء عن الضعفاء في العالم كله
we have to get rid of the oppression of the powerful over the weak over the powerless
ولا سيما في العالم الإسلامي
especially in the Muslim world
من قبل القوى العظمى
from the side of the greater powers
لا يكفي أن تتشدق القوى العظمى بالأخلاق
It does not suffice for greater powers to speak loudly about ethics.
ليس تتكلم تبيع وتشتري تتجر
On the contrary, ethics has become a matter of commercial transaction for greater powers.
لقد أصبحت حقوق الإنسان تجارة.
Human rights have become a commodity, a financial transaction.
تتجر بها القوى العظمى وهي تتعامل مع الناس ومع العالم وخصوصا الإسلامي بالهيمنة والقهر والظلم.
The way greater powers relates, especially relate to the Muslim world, especially, is through arrogance and superiority.
ليست المشكلة في الأديان من حيث هي أديان.
The problem, as I see it, is not in religions as religions.
ولكن المشكلة في البشر.
The true problem is in this type of domination amongst human beings.
المشكلة عند أصحاب القرار.
The problem is with those who make decisions.
عند القوى الكامنة من السياسيين ورجال المال والأعمال.
It is in the hands of those hidden powers of business people and political elites.
لقد جربت الإنسانية البعد عن شرائع الله عز وجل.
Humanity has distanced itself from divine legislation.
جاءت الاشتراكية ووعدت الناس بجنة الدنيا بالعدالة.
When socialism came, it offered paradise and promised paradise to humanity.
ثم نظرنا فيها فإذا هي تحولت إلى شوفونية.
After examining it, it has become chauvinistic in nature.
جاءت الكشوف الكبرى على أنها كشوف وأنها تحرير. وثم تحولت إلى استعمار.
The greater discoveries done or undertaken by the West were done in the name of liberation and democracy, but it turned out that these discoveries were a form of colonization.
جاء النموذج الغربي الرأسمالي في الحياة.
The capitalist Western model in life.
وبنى هذه حضارته على الفردانية.
And built its own civilization on individualism.
حتى صار هذا الإنسان وحشا يأكل ما حوله.
To the extent that this individual has turned itself into a beast, devouring everything around him or her.
كما أن الشيوعية جعلت من الدولة وحشا يأكل الشعب.
In the same vein, Shiuya communism has made the state a beast, eating everybody around itself.
الخلاص من هذا
to summarize all of this
هو الرجوع إلى الله عز وجل
we have to return to God and God's legislation
وأن يصطلح الإنسان مع ربه
and for a human being man or woman to reform their relationship with the divine
وأن يعود الإنسان إلى تعاليم الأنبياء والمرسلين
and to return to the original teachings of the prophets and messengers
نحن بحاجة إلى أن نعيد بناء حضارة جديدة.
We need to rebuild a new civilization.
أن نفكك هذه الحضارة التي أدت بالعالم إلى تدمير الذات.
To deconstruct this civilization that has led to so much damage in life.
وأدت به إلى فناء المصير.
And which led to the loss of human destiny.
وأدت به إلى البؤس الروحي.
And which led to spiritual poverty in humanity.
هذا في الغرب.
in the West.
وفي الشرق في العالم الإسلامي صار عندنا بؤس مادي.
And in the Muslim world, we suffer from material poverty as well.
ضاع العالم بين البؤس الروحي والبؤس المادي.
The world has been lost between spiritual and material poverty.
الإسلام جاء ليحفظ الرسالات السابقة.
Islam has come to complement and preserve all the previous divine revelations.
جاء ليجعل من الناس أمة واحدة.
It has come to make of all nations one ummah. One ummah is, as you know, an Arabic term that is similar to Christendom. So let's say one Christendom.
وأن يجعل من البشرية الإنسانية كلها أسرة واحدة.
To make one family of the different tribes or nations.
في خطبة الوداع التي ودع فيها النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام الناس كلهم.
In the farewell party of the Prophet before he passed away. In 632. He said, all human beings, all people.
لم يقل يا أيها المسلمون.
He did not say, all Muslims.
إن دماءكم.
Your blood.
وأموالكم.
And your wealth and property.
وأعراضكم.
And your
الأعراض معنى الشرف والكرامة ليس.
Your dignity as human beings.
حرام عليكم.
Are illegal for you.
كحرمة يومكم هذا يوم حجة الوداع.
As this day. The Arafat day during the pilgrimage, that's to say you're not allowed to hurt each other, to steal from each other. And he also said, take care of women folks. All people, you have only one father. You have one Lord. All of you belong to Adam.
وآدم من تراب.
And Adam has been made of clay.
لا فضل لعربي على عجمي.
There is no distinction between an Arab and a non-Arab, between a black and a white.
إلا بالتقوى.
Except by piety.
التقوى هي طاعة الله والأخلاق.
Piety means commitment to God and practical ethics.
إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم.
The most generous of you are indeed those who are pious.
هذا الشباب اليوم.
The youth of today.
حظه من التدين الصحيح ضعيف.
Have a weak opportunity of true belief.
هناك خطأ في فهم النصوص الدينية عند كثير منهم.
There is a major fallacy in the understanding of religious texts.
هذا يؤدي إلى العنف والتطرف.
Amongst the youth, which leads to violence and extremism.
هناك جهل في حقائق الدين.
There is a major ignorance of theological facts of religion.
هناك فراغ روحي بعد عن التعليم الدين الروحي.
There is a spiritual starvation that is so alienated from the true essence of spirituality.
هذه الأسباب الداخلية.
These eternal esoteric reasons,
إضافة إلى الظلم,
in addition to combined with social oppression,
من قبل الدول العظمى,
and political oppression conducted by the greater powers,
الحاصل على العالم الإسلامي,
that's happening today in the Muslim world,
والهيمنة والاستعمار,
and the hegemony and colonialism,
ووجود الجيوش الأمريكية والعالمية,
and the presence of American troops and other troops in the Muslim world and Muslim lands.
كل هذه الأسباب,
all of these combined reasons,
من أهم أسباب العنف عند,
have given rise to violence amongst the youth in the Muslim world.
أعتقد هناك كلام كثير, لكن
I think that we can say a lot. But, ولكن, time is limited. I do open the floor, or I prefer to have a dialogue between all of you. We have to ask the respected Sheikh to chant. He has such a beautiful voice as well. So, في الإنجليزي.
في النهاية.
في النهاية, at the end. Yes, that's right.
نحن ندعو.
We do invite.
ندعوكم.
You
وندعو أنفسنا
and ourselves
والعالم كله
and the whole world
إلى أن نبني حضارة جديدة
to rebuild and reconstruct a new civilization
بعيدة عن العنف والشر
that is cut off or distant from evil and violence
تعتني بالعلم
that takes care of real knowledge
ولا تقف عنده
and that does not stop at knowledge only
وتهتم بالحكمة
and that is interested in wisdom
وتربي العقل
and that cultivates the human mind
والقلب والروح
and the human heart and the soul
وتسير هذه الحضارة
and that follows in the footsteps in the path of
على طريق الأنبياء
in the footsteps of the prophets and messengers of God
وتستند إلى شريعة الله
and that depends on divine legislation.
Thank you for listening.
شكرا لسماعكم.
I'm always
touched by modest proposals. Rebuild the civilization. modest and constant proposal. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Archbishop Lazar, would you like to begin our responses? You have a little couple things you want to pick up on here?
Well, there are three things that interested me. The first one is nourishing the souls of the youth in place of
the university level. اهتمام بأرواح الصغار في الجامعة تربية لأن العنف يأتي بسبب الفقر في الروح أو الفقر الروح أو
المال gives people the anticipation of having wealth and things. And violence is prevalent among those who feel excluded from that whole system.
وبين الفقراء لأنهم مش جزء من نظام العالم.
The only thing we can really do at the university level is to try to create leaders who might try to change the structure.
في الجامعة يجب أن نربي قيادات روحية.
We think about violence as an anomaly in civilization with tribals.
العنف مش إشي غير طبيعي بهذا السبب هو طبيعي لأنه في أشياء غير طبيعية الناس لا يوجد عندهم حقوق العنف ليس فقط قتل الناس العنف أيضا هو كيف الأغنياء عامل الفقراء بالنسبة للشكل الأوسط كثير من عدم
التفاهم
نحن نفكر المسلمين يعيشون كلهم بالصحراء وأيضا عندهم oil
and,
it's an oil that belongs to us in the west but it was deposited by God in the desert قلت له هذا الاويل تبعنا الزيت تبعنا بس الله حطه طريق هذا بالصحراء تبعته
العلم because knowledge also means understanding
معناته فهم وتطبيق مش فقط
and to have knowledge I mean faith does not consist in the knowledge of a system of doctrine faith consists in an orientation of the soul toward the will of God
الإيمان معنى ذلك أن الروح هي متصلة مع الله
we can teach people all kinds of knowledge but if they can't apply it to their daily life
يجب أن نطبق هذا العلم للحياة
and their interrelationships because everything in the scripture
كل شيء عن علاقات الأشياء هي مبنية على علاقات مع علاقات مع الطبيعة مع
الناس
كثير من الأشياء لا نفهم
علاقاتنا
نو علاقتنا مع الناس
الصحراء
بدنا نأخذ هذا البترول منهم قبل ما سنين يخدم
but a lot of our relationships are based in fear
كثير من علاقاتنا مبنية على الخوف
there's a deep structural fear
هناك خوف مبني
in so much of North American society and culture
في أمريكا الشمالية
and that fear penetrates to everything we think and everything we do
هذا الخوف هو يتصل بكثير من أعمالنا
and so much of it's a fear of the other
خوف الآخرين
in any way different from us
الآخرين المختلفين عنا
and part of the response to that at the educational level? Is first of all to try to convey some kind of knowledge, but knowledge is mostly economic in the West.
العلم في الغرب هو مبني على الاقتصاد والمادة.
Successful life or a higher standard of living. It's head knowledge, it's not heart knowledge. And how we can apply something to our daily lives to give us what was promised to the peace that passes all understanding. And that putting that always at a university level or at the level of higher education is not very useful. Because in our education system, we no longer teach people to love beauty.
تربية لا نعلم الناس
and to love the things that are beautiful.
أن يتعلموا عن الجميل والجمال والحب.
Of God, we have to talk first about knowledge of ourselves.
لازم نتعلم عن أنفسنا وعن الله سبحانه.
To know ourselves, truly to know ourselves.
لازم نعرف أنفسنا.
And we have to see the image and likeness of God in every other human being. But we can never see the face of the living God.
لازم نشوف الله في كل البني آدمين لأنه خالقهم.
And that's very difficult to inculcate in people. The people who are living in poverty, people who are living in great distress and despair, people whose primary concern is, can I find a drink of water? Can I find a handful of rice? Their violence isn't going to be solved by higher education. And
التعليم والتربية مش كل شيء ممكن ما تحل المشاكل الفقر
even in our own society in Canada,
حتى في مجتمعنا
هون part and parcel of the reasons for violence in our society.
هناك مشاكل في مجتمعنا
teach in the name of religion is a major part of the violence in our society also.
بعض الأشياء حتى نتعلم باسم الدين هو سبب العنف.
Education is all well and good. How do we apply that to every level of society, including those who could never hope to afford?
كيف نستطيع أن نطبق هاي الأفكار في المجتمع على أهم شيء؟
Yeah, that's just for discussion, I guess.
Thank you. I just want to make a brief comment. You know, the reason we brought Muslim scholars here to the city, actually we have different reasons. The first major reason is that we have a diverse Muslim community in the city. We have like over 50,000 Muslims who've come from different cultural and linguistic backgrounds. We have Muslims from Lebanon, from Pakistan, from India, from whatever, North Africa. So this is one major reason, is for the diverse Muslim communities to be connected with Muslim institutions and scholarship overseas. Mainly because our imams in Canada, at least in the city of Edmonton, and this is very true in the city of Calgary, have been very much oppressed by the secular leaders of our Muslim mosques. Because Muslim leadership is suffering, it's going through a major crisis in the West. Now I think that the Christian leadership is in a much better shape. Before I came to the University of Alberta, I taught in a Christian seminary for 20 years of my life. And many of my students were pastors and leaders. I'm not saying that there's no crisis in Christian leadership, but it is much less than the crisis of Muslim leadership in the West. Because we Muslims do not have our own places, seminaries, to train leaders in English and other sciences and Islam in the West. We get our leaders from Al-Azhar, many of whom, or other places, many of whom have no knowledge of English, even after 10 years of living in the West. The problem is not language only, it's much more than language. But we have a crisis of Muslim leadership, and that's why this is one major reason to my mind why these scholars and other scholars will come to the city to alert the Muslim community to their own leadership roles in the West and their own responsibilities, especially in a Christian secular society. The second major thing is that it's very essential for us to have a major, what we call, interfaith dialogue, especially between Christianity and Islam, because the relationship between Christianity and Islam is over 1400 years. And one also could argue that Islam has set up its own ideology, its own belief system, terminology, in the context of Christian terminology, as well as in the context of Jewish terminology. But you, as the father said, Father Paolo said, Muslims are in a sense not dignified in our perspective because they control all or whatever. We have to oppress them. But in terms of theology, Muslim theology is not that far from either Jewish theology or Christian theology. Therefore, it is extremely important to conduct such a dialogue at the theological level, and especially with scholars who come from Syria, because the Syrian Christian community has been there before Islam. And as you well know, when Islam came to Syria in the year 637 AD, many Christians in Syria thought that Islam was another Christian heresy, because that was the century of heresies. And even after 200 years of Islam within Syria, they still thought that Islam was a deviation of Christianity. But we accept Islam as another Christian heresy. So from that angle, it's very important to conduct a major theological and historical dialogue between these religious systems. But also there's another reason that Syria, as you well know, has been very much betrayed by the mass media, or talked about or discussed, as a member of the axis of evil. And I always, when I go to Syria, you know, people, I mean, I've been to Syria many times for the past 25 years because I have family in Syria, but people would say, oh, you've been to Syria, they haven't killed you. You know, it's like, as those Syrian people are monsters. On the contrary, when you go there, they kill you. Yes, they do. By giving you too much food. because they are extremely generous. I mean, Father Paolo, Professor David, they came to Syria with us last year, and they killed us with food and generosity.
And we are all dead.
Yeah. I mean,
as a result.
So that's the issue here. I believe that the Syrians have not done a great job in presenting their own generosity and society and religion to the West. And this is because Syria, as many Arab and Muslim countries, faces a major problem, is that many highly Westernized Syrians want to follow the model of Western modernization and civilization. They want to forget about their own roots, because to them, the example of civilization is to be found in the West, without understanding the problems that our respective scholars have been talking about. So therefore, I think that we need to present not only a good image about Syria, but about the Muslim world. I lived in Indonesia for 2 years. Indonesia has 25 million Christians who are Indonesian. And they are living with Muslims. I mean, no Muslim is... You know, of course, there are problems in the East, but these are political problems. But if you go to Jakarta or Jakarta, other cities, Muslims and Christians live in the same neighborhood. They are neighbors. And this is because of both Christian and Muslim ethics. So it is very significant for us as Christians and Muslims to have a dialogue. And I think that the Muslim community that is diverse, I believe, it has not done a proper job of approaching the Christian community or communities in Edmonton for a proper type of dialogue. But inshallah, God willing, with the presence of the scholars and other people and our Christian colleagues and friends and brothers and sisters, will do all of that for the sake not only of the Muslim community, but for the sake of a better Canadian society. Thank you.
I'd like to ask one last person to speak a little bit, if she will, and that's Shada. And the reason is that I suppose it is in our conversations together a number of years ago that you flagged this serious challenge for your community here as well around young people and what the diet is in our world around what it means to be Muslim and what have you. Can you just say a little bit to us?
I'm getting old. I'm getting forgetful.
You talked about your work with the Ismaili school.
Yes.
And how young people, seeing the news media broadcasts,
right,
and what have you, that this is presenting a quite serious spiritual challenge to the leadership around the young and around both trying to teach them in an adequate way ahead of all that infection.
changed your mind?
No, I haven't changed my mind. I think basically, I think that is the trauma that all young people are facing, normally in Edmonton, in the NAS community, and as Dr. Sarah said, that there is a diverse community in Edmonton, everywhere actually. And so to try and understand not only the interrelationship between the Muslim community, because that in itself is also a challenge.
The
main reason being that there is so much to know, and where do we start? And I think maybe already mentioned that the education of the children does start primarily at home. And so if I may say so, with keeping that spirit of knowledge, that deeper education, not only just intellectual, but the spiritual knowledge, is to say that it starts from the home.
Sure.
So it may well be that we are well equipped at schools or at universities to carry on that conversation, but we need to start that at home. And unfortunately, when SMB pointed out, is that there is so much tension, so much materialism, you've got to put food on the table, you've got to buy designer clothes, this, that, and the other. For the parents, both parents are working out of the home, it becomes a problem. Where do we even start? And this is probably what we're facing with, is that that kind of spirituality, in a very simple form, and the understanding, love thy neighbor, the golden rule that we all talked about, has to really start at home. And when parents don't even have enough time for that, not of their own fault, but just the circumstances of their life, it becomes very difficult. And so I think it is a challenge that all of us may face and do face. But I also would like to add a comment on saying that how do we separate ourselves or whatever is happening in the world. We have democracy here. We need to speak up. And next election we can speak up and make sure that our views are heard. It's usually what happens is we don't exercise the position. And with the word, one voice or one person can change the world. But we certainly collectively, we can, each one of us has to do our part in doing that. And the final comment is that we, as a humanity, as one human body, if one part of our body is hurting, the rest of our body cannot ignore it. No matter where we are in our own backyard, so yes, we have a big challenge on our hands, but I think that spiritual education, that religious formation needs to start from, and that collectively as a community we have a responsibility to carry on further and further and beyond that.
Thank you so much. Sheikh, would you give us a little Sufi chant to end our
day?
A little benediction.
Can I just speak for 2 minutes?
Okay. Yeah.
I desire to talk about 3 points.
النقطة الأولى هناك نقص في المعرفة بين الأطراف المسلمين وغير المسلمين المسيحيين.
There is a lack of facts knowledge amongst both Christians and Muslims about each other.
أعتقد هذا يجب أن يستدرك في أن يعرف كل منا الآخر.
I think that we should take care of that gap in knowledge so that we can come to know about each other.
وفي القرآن قال تعالى لتعارف.
And in the Holy Quran, Allah says, so that you may come to know each other.
النقطة الثانية.
The second point.
لابد من إصلاح الإعلام الغربي الذي يشوه صورة المسلمين.
We have to fix the Western mass media that have been intent on deforming. Presenting deformed images and views of Islam and Muslims.
المسلمون ناس مؤمنون وطيبون ويحبون المسيحيين واليهود.
The Muslims are believers, they are humble believers, they love Jews and Christians.
ويؤمنون بأنبيائهم جميعا.
And they believe in their prophets and messengers too.
ولكنهم لا يحبون من يعتدي عليهم ويسرق أرضهم ويقتل نساءهم.
They do not love those people who are offensive towards them, who steal their lands and kill their people.
المسلمون في الحقيقة مثل الحملان.
The Muslims are similar to humble lambs.
وأنا أشبه الغرب أيضا الشعب الغربي بحملان وديعة طيبة.
And this is true with the people of the West, with the masses of the West, who are humble lambs.
لا علاقة لنا بالكاريكاتور الغربي المرسوم مسبقا.
We have Western images, but we don't believe in these Western images.
نحن لا نأكل الناس ولا نذبح الناس كما تقول.
We do not slaughter human beings.
نحن نعيش مع المسيحيين واليهود بيوتنا كما قال دكتور إبراهيم مع بعض. أنا جاري على الحائط مباشرة مسيحي.
For a while we have lived with both Jews and Christians. My neighbor is a Christian in Syria.
وأنا وفضيلة المفتي دائما خلال السنة نزور كل الطوائف المسيحية.
And the Mufti and I visit different Christian churches and leaders every year, every day.
ونعطي المحاضرات في الكنائس وهم يعطون محاضرات.
And we lecture in their churches and they come to our mosques.
ونتعاون في مكافحة الفقر والمرض.
And we cooperate in stamping out poverty and sickness in society.
هذا شيء عادي.
This is normal for us.
نحن يوم 15 في الشهر القادم.
On December 15th.
هناك مؤتمر دولي عالمي.
There is an international conference to be held in Damascus.
تقيمه وزارة الأوقاف السورية.
That will be held by the Ministry of Endowments in Damascus, Syria.
بين المسلمين في سوريا.
Between the Muslims of Syria.
والفاتيكان.
And the Vatican.
وبقية الطوائف المسيحية.
And other Christian denominations in Syria.
تشارك في نعم.
Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. يشارك فيه أكثر من 200 ضيف مسيحي من أنحاء العالم من الفاتيكان.
And there will be over 200 Christian guests from the world coming to Syria.
ويشارك فيه الطوائف المسيحية في سوريا.
And different leaders from churches in Syria.
وفي العالم العربي.
And in the Arab world.
وأنا وفضيلة مفتي لنا فيه كلمات في.
The Mufti and I will give the opening speeches. In the opening speeches, yes.
أريد أن تعرفوا هذا.
I want you to know all of this.
لذلك لابد من أن نصلح الإعلام الغربي المغري.
Therefore, we have to reform and correct the Western mass media.
آخر نقطة أقولها.
The last point I mention.
في الحديث يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام.
In a saying the prophet says.
إن في الجسد مضغة كتلة لحم.
In a body there is a parcel, a piece of meat, that's to say.
إذا صلحت صلح الجسد.
If that piece of meat is correct, then the whole body will be correct.
وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله.
But if that piece of meat is ruined, the whole body will be ruined.
وفي القرآن الكريم يوم لا ينفع يوم الآخرة لا ينفع مال ولا بنون.
And in the Holy Quran, in the Day of Judgment, when nothing will benefit the person, not his kids or not their kids or money.
إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم.
Except those who have come to God with a perfect heart. The heart is that piece of meat, so to speak.
علينا أن نعود إلى هذا.
So we have to go back to our heart, human heart.
We don't need it.
Thank you.
وكلما ناديت ياه قال يا عبدي أنا الله كلما ناديت ياه قال يا عبدي أنا الله لا تدبر لك أمرا لا تدبر لك أمرا فذو التدبير هلكا فوض الأمر إلى منك فوض أمر إليه فهو أولى بك منك الله 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 ما لنا مولى سوى الله 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 ما لنا مولى سوى الله كلما ناديت ياه قال يا عبدي أنا الله كلما ناديت ياه